This is Vision for Christ, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. A part of the Lord's Prayer contains the words, "Thy will be done." Today we'll be considering how God has His will without destroying our free will to make decisions. First, a brief prayer. Father God, let me show everyone who You really are and reveal Your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. That is why we have the website gospel2africa.com. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe on AM medium wave radio and on shortwave radio. You may contact us through our website contact form at www.gospel2africa.com/contact, no matter where you live. You may write to us through the regular mail to this address, Vision for Christ, P.O. Box 265, Swanton, Ohio, 43558, USA. Our Vision for Christ website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Also, Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address, gospel2africa.com, and our Facebook page, facebook.com/gospel2africa. Thy will be done is one of the requests in the Lord's Prayer. In part, Jesus taught His disciples to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." That's Matthew 6:9-10. Jesus Himself pleaded for God's will to be done in the Garden of Gethsemane. Prior to His crucifixion, Jesus prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as You will." Matthew 26:39. Jesus was committed to seeing God's will accomplished, and the prayer, "Thy will be done," was a theme of His life. To pray, "Thy will be done," is to ask God to do what He desires. Of course, we're praying to the God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, Genesis 1:3. So we know that His sovereign decree will be accomplished whether or not we pray for it. But there is another aspect of God's will, which we call His revealed or perceptive will. This is God's will that He has revealed to us, but that He does not force upon us. For example, it is God's will that we speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, and that we not commit adultery or get drunk. When we pray, "Thy will be done," we are asking God to increase righteousness in the world, to bring more people to repentance, and to further the cause of the kingdom of His Son. When we pray, "Thy will be done," we acknowledge God's right to rule. We do not pray, "My will be done." We pray, "Thy will be done." Asking that God's will be done is a demonstration of our trust that He knows what is best. It is a statement of submission to God's ways and His plans. We ask for our will to be conformed to His will. The Lord's Prayer begins by acknowledging God as Father in heaven. Jesus then models petitions, presenting three requests to the Father. One, that God would cause His name to be hallowed or made holy. In other words, as Albert Mohler explains, that God would act in such a way that He visibly demonstrates His holiness and His glory. That God would bring His kingdom to earth, that is, that the preaching of the gospel would convert sinners into saints who walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that God would rid the world of evil and create the new heavens and new earth where God will dwell with His people, and there will be no more curse and no more death. That God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, the angels perform God's desire completely, joyfully, and immediately. What a world this would be if humans acted like that. As a point of clarification, thy will be done is not an impassive prayer of resignation. The prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane was not passive or fatalistic in the least. He bared his heart before the Father and revealed his ultimate desire for the will of God to be accomplished. Praying, thy will be done, acknowledges that God has more knowledge than we do, and that we trust that his way is best. And it is a commitment to actively work to further the execution of God's will. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what the will of God is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Understanding who God is, we submit ourselves to him and allow him to transform us. The more we know God, the more readily our prayers will align with his will, and we can truly pray, "Thy will be done." We can approach God in confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's 1 John 5. By faith, we know that praying, "Thy will be done," is the best thing we can ask for. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Divine providence is the governance of God by which he, with wisdom and love, cares for and directs all things in the universe. The doctrine of divine providence asserts that God is in complete control of all things. He is sovereign over the universe as a whole, see Psalm 103, over the physical world, see Matthew 5:45, over the affairs of nations, Psalm 66:7, and over human destiny, Galatians 1:15, and human successes and failures and the protection of his people. This doctrine stands in direct opposition to the idea that the universe is governed by chance or mere fate. Through divine providence, God accomplishes his will. To ensure that his purposes are fulfilled, God governs the affairs of men and works through the natural order of things. The laws of nature are nothing more than the work of God in the universe. The laws of nature have no inherent power, rather they are the principles that God set in place to govern how things normally work. They are only laws because God decreed them. Now God hates sin and will judge sinners. God is not the author of sin, he does not tempt anyone to sin, see James 1:13, and he does not condone sin. At the same time, God obviously allows a certain measure of sin. He must have a reason for allowing it temporarily, even though he hates it. An example of divine providence in Scripture is found in the story of Judas Iscariot. God allowed Judas to lie, deceive, cheat, steal, and finally betray the Lord Jesus into the hands of his enemies. All of this was a great wickedness, and God was displeased. Yet at the same time, all of Judas's plotting and scheming led to a greater good, the salvation of mankind. Jesus had to die at the hands of the Romans in order to become the sacrifice for sin. If Jesus had not been crucified, we would still be in our sins. How did God get Christ to the cross? God providentially allowed Judas the freedom to perform a series of wicked acts. Jesus plainly states this in Luke 22:22. "The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." Note that Jesus teaches both the sovereignty of God, the Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, and the responsibility of man, woe to that man who betrays. So you see, there is a balance. Divine providence is taught in Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All things means all things. God is never out of control. Satan can do his worst, yet even the evil that is tearing the world apart is working toward a greater final purpose. We cannot see it yet, but we know that God allows things for a reason and that His plan is good. It must be frustrating for Satan. No matter what he does, he finds that his plans are thwarted and something good happens in the end. Now, there are some who say that the concept of God directly or indirectly orchestrating all things destroys any possibility of free will. If God is in complete control, how can we be truly free in the decisions we make? In other words, for free will to be meaningful, there must be some things that lie outside of God's sovereign control, that is, the contingency of human choice. Let us assume for the sake of argument that that is true. What then? If God is not in complete control of all contingencies, then how could He guarantee our salvation? Paul says in Philippians 1:6 that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If God is not in control of all things, then this promise and all other divine promises are in doubt. If the future does not belong completely to God, we do not have complete security that our salvation will be made complete. Furthermore, if God is not in control of all things, then He is not sovereign, and if He is not sovereign, then He is not God. So, the price of maintaining contingencies outside of the control of God results in a belief that God is not really God. And if our free will can overcome divine providence, then who ultimately is God? We are. That conclusion is unacceptable to anyone with a biblical worldview. Divine providence does not destroy our freedom. Rather, divine providence takes our freedom into account and, in the infinite wisdom of God, sets a course to fulfill God's will. So then, will you use your own will, your own power of decision-making, to choose in favor of God? Will you confess your sin to God? Will you repent and turn away from a sinful lifestyle, and then, in faith, choose to willingly follow the way of Christ in the Bible? I pray that you will use your power of your will for God today. Now, let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to actively repent of their sins, and to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today, and have a close, personal relationship with you, Father God, through your only Son, Jesus. Amen. You may contact us through our website contact form at www.gospeltoafrica.com/contact, no matter where you live. You may write to us through the regular mail to this address, Vision for Christ, P.O. Box 265, Swanton, Ohio, 43558, USA. Our Vision for Christ website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Also, Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address is gospel2africa.com, and our Facebook page, facebook.com/gospel2africa. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor, praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in a loving, intimate relationship. I will leave you today with this text from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven.